Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
La-di-da, la-di-da.
He's looking at you, kid.
Let's put a smile on that face.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
It's midday at the movies. I'm Tom Hall. Today, our annual Oscar predictions and prognostications with Jed Dietz, the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival, and Anne Hornaday, film critic for the Washington Post. Plus, Jaywin Russick reviews the new online production at Baltimore Center Stage, an homage to black hair called The Glorious World of Crowns, Kinks, and Curls. Midday's on the way after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you could be with us. Before we get to our topic du jour, which is movies, I want to give you a little COVID-19 update. The governor announced yesterday, this is Governor Larry Hogan, that all Marylanders now who are the age 16 or older can pre-register for an appointment to receive a COVID-19 vaccine at one of the state's several mass vaccination sites. So pre-registration ensures that you'll be notified when you are able to make an appointment if you are eligible to receive a vaccine. So go to covidvax.maryland.gov and you can pre-register if you are over the age of 16. It's hard to say exactly when you'll get an appointment. Pre-registering is not the same as getting a shot in your arm, but pre-registering can speed up the process. For some time, the Hogan administration resisted the notion of a centralized website to handle COVID vaccine appointments, but late February, they decided to go ahead and have this sort of one-stop shop for pre-registering for a COVID-19 vaccine. We are now averaging about 59,000 shots every day here in the state of Maryland. The supply of doses of vaccines are rising continually. We are now in the second phase called Phase 2B, which includes a lot of people, including people age 16 or older who have underlying conditions. So if you're in that category, you can qualify for an appointment right now. So if you have underlying conditions, that's a different situation than if you're simply a healthy 16-year-old. But at this point, some 75%, almost 76% of Marylanders over the age of 65 have received a vaccine. So that's good because, of course, people age 65 and over are in the highest risk category for COVID-19. Now, as the vaccination rates are increasing, we are also seeing an increase in the rate of cases that we're experiencing here in Maryland. Just in the last 24 hours, another 1,400 cases were added to the list of people who have been infected with COVID-19. It's been several days now that each day sees more than 1,000 people diagnosed, testing positive with COVID-19. Our statewide positivity rate, 5.6%. Just several weeks ago, we were in the 2.6% positivity rate range. Now, that positivity rate going up again, 5% positivity is what the World Health Organization suggests is a good metric for reopening things. So mask mandate is still in effect here in Maryland. Wash your hands, stay socially distant, particularly when you're with folks you don't know. We now have more than 1,000 people here in our state currently hospitalized for COVID-19. My guest on Monday will be Dr. Lena Wen, and we'll have a complete update on all things COVID-19 then. All righty. And now it's another edition of Midday at the Movies. It's our monthly look at films and filmmaking. And with the pandemic-delayed Academy Awards telecast finally happening later this month, it'll be on Sunday, the 25th of April. Today, our annual Oscar predictions from our midday movie mavens. Anne Hornaday is a film critic for The Washington Post and the author of the best-selling Moviegoer's Guide, Talking Pictures, How to Watch Movies. Hey, Anne, how you doing?
I'm great, Tom. Thank you for asking.
Good. And also joining us on Zoom, like Anne, is Jed Dietz. He is the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival. Mr. Dietz, good to talk to you, sir.
Good to talk to you. Good to be here.
So on the 25th of April, we will have the 93rd Academy Awards. And Jed, you've attended all 93. It's just, you know, it's an honor to have you with us here. But listeners, we do want to hear from you. What do you think about the nominees for, you know, Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, etc.? Are there things on the list you think don't belong? Are there things that aren't on the list that you think should be there? So we'd love to hear your Oscar prognostications as well as Jed's and Ann's. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle is @MiddayWYPR. So, Anne, what strikes you overall about the crop of nominees this year? You've written about it in terms of diversity, in terms of some of the things that people have been paying closer attention to in recent years than in previous years. How's it looking?
It's looking up, and I think what I'm most impressed with is that, you know, this is a diverse slate, and we can kind of get into the whys and wherefores and whos, but it's organic. It's because these are really good films. You know, when a film like Sound of Metal, which is about a young man losing his hearing and involves, it's partly in American Sign Language, and it features actors with hearing loss, or, you know, Judas and the Black Messiah about Fred Hampton, Minari, you know, about a Korean family making their way in America. These are, you know, these are just good movies, full stop. And the fact that they are about this kind of lovely wide range of human experience, and featuring actors that reflect that and storylines that reflect that and production values, I just feel like it's for all the right reasons. It doesn't feel like boxes are being checked. You know, it's actually for such a weird year, when I look at this lineup of films, I think it's really impressively strong.
Yeah, and Jed, I was interested, a movie that Linnell and I saw and really liked a lot. It's on Netflix. It's called Mank, directed by David Fincher. And then Gary Oldman is the lead, and he's also been nominated for Best Actor, and it's nominated for Best Picture as well. And it actually got more nominations than any other movie, but it was kind of under the radar for the longest time. It's got 10 nominations, and that's more than any other single movie. How do you explain that? What do you think? What's behind all that?
Well, some of it, I think, is, you know, David Fincher's reputation and the ongoing interest in the movies he's made and series like House of Cards. I mean, he's really, I mean, in that group of directors who's really, you know, sort of everything they do, you want to pay some attention to, if you have any interest in movies at all. And this one is about a legendary movie, of course, the launching of Citizen Kane and the controversy that continues to surround it over how it was created and where it stands in the world of movies. And this goes right at a sort of core part of it, which is, you know, the writer of it, Herman Mankiewicz, who, you know, by all descriptions was a brilliant writer, also a troubled man, alcoholic, very contentious person. And he, you know, was writing this story about William Randolph Hearst, a huge character. It would be, you know, like writing a movie about Rupert Murdoch today or somebody, and probably that even understates the power of it, because Joseph Pulitzer and William Randolph Hearst were really huge, you know, in a pre-social media era, huge influencers of public opinion across the country. And he was creating this with this wunderkind first-time filmmaker Orson Welles, who had had huge success in theater and radio and was coming in, begged by Hollywood to come in and just make this project. The other thing that's interesting about Mank specifically, this Fincher movie, is it was a project that David Fincher and his dad had worked on for a long time. His dad has died. The script was written a while back. And so I think it's just something that's obsessed him. And I think anybody interested in movies, if something obsesses David Fincher, you want to pay attention to it.
So, Anna Jett, I want to present to you a loaded and wonderful question from a listener that reflects what many, many people are feeling and suffering through. Steven says, "Help, I'm drowning in the streaming flood. It's too expensive to subscribe to all of these streams. What few services can I subscribe to if I don't need to see the award nominees right away?" He says, "I subscribe to Netflix now. Which one or two would be cost-effective to add?" Now, he is speaking for the group, let me tell you, because there's so many possibilities. What do you think, Anne? Let me have you take the first stab.
Oh, my goodness. That is a tough one, and I'm facing the same dilemma. You know, honestly, I would probably start with Amazon Prime. I think Amazon Prime is their original films are good, but then eventually things will end up there. And it's also a really good way to catch up with some vintage things, you know, some repertory things. I have found that I'm happy that I have my Hulu subscription. I think that has been a very good value. You know, when you get into the individual studios like the Disney Pluses, and the Paramount Plus and HBO Max, I mean, that kind of depends on your own viewing, you know, your family and kind of amortizing that investment over views. But I guess those would be my, you know, and then don't overlook things like Canopy, which is available through the Enoch Pratt. It's a fabulous service.
Yeah, well, that is a great service, but it's through the Pratt. But again, we can't overload people. We got to give them just
I know. Exactly. Okay, then I'll stop.
Your list is at 15 now.
Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Canopy. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, three seems reasonable. All right. And so, Jed, how about you? Anything to add to that? Or
I'm not allowed to add. I'm not. No, those are great choices. Really, really good choices. I think, you know, Disney Plus is exploded into the marketplace. I mean, it's the fastest subscriber count to 100 million people around the world. Nobody predicted this, including Disney. And I just think it speaks to the quality of their programming. And remember, they've bought the whole Fox library when Murdoch sold off the movie division. So I think that's great. And I think I would agree with Canopy. The other thing, if you want to add one, the thing I would think about would be, you know, if you're really interested in sort of art films and that kind of stuff, is the Criterion Collection.
You're here, right. Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
But
all right, we're gonna cut you off there. Right. No more. No more information overload. All right. I want to talk about some of these Best Picture nominees. Let's listen to a clip from The Father. This is Anthony Hopkins, who has been nominated for Best Actor, and The Father has been also nominated as Best Picture.
Everything all right?
Who are you?
Actually, it's me, Paul.
Who?
I live here.
What is this nonsense? Anne?
It's me.
Ah, there she is.
Your father seemed a bit confused.
Something wrong?
Where's Anne?
Sorry?
Anne, where is she?
I'm here. What's the matter, Dad?
Strange things going on around us.
Don't worry. Everything will sort itself out.
All right. So, Anne, what do you think? Does The Father stand a chance of becoming the Best Picture this year?
To be perfectly honest, I don't think it will win, but it is a beautiful movie, and I'm so happy it's getting the recognition that it's getting, and I know Jed's a big fan of it as well. It's just a beautifully constructed piece of cinema. Terrific central performance by Hopkins, but as a film, and just as a piece of ingenious filmmaking structurally and the production design, that music that we heard, the whole gestalt of it is so good. And it is about a man and his descent into dementia. And I know a lot of us are experiencing this firsthand with our loved ones and our families. And that can, you can think that that might be too tough to watch, but I will say it is so enormously gratifying and rewarding as a, as an artistic experience. And it just, it's done with such sensitivity and insight that I would recommend this to anyone and everyone, regardless of where you're at with that issue.
All right. I want to listen to another clip about another movie that has been, or of another movie that's been nominated for Best Picture, Judas and the Black Messiah. Here's a clip.
The Black Panthers are the single greatest threat to our national security. Our counterintelligence program must prevent the rise of a Black Messiah.
You're looking at 18 months for the stolen car, 5 years for impersonating a federal officer, or you can go home.
What do you want?
Get close to Hampton.
The Black Panthers are forming a rainbow coalition of oppressed brothers and sisters of every color.
Neutralize him by any means necessary.
So Jed Dietz, what do you think? Daniel Kaluuya nominated as actor for actor in a supporting role here in Judas and the Black Messiah. This has been streaming on HBO Max. What's your take on that one and its chances of Best Picture?
Yeah, and like Keith Stanfield, who plays the sort of spy, the plant in the Black Panthers, is also nominated. It's a terrific movie. I think it's so beautifully constructed. It's such an important story about a very complex community organizing groups in this country. This is about the Chicago chapter. One sort of fun sidebar about the movie that I would say it's a must see is that clip you showed was the very liberal and wonderful activist Martin Sheen playing J. Edgar Hoover, who's wonderful in the movie. And J. Edgar Hoover, of course, was the key to targeting Fred Hampton and taking him out at the age of 25.
Not quite the president, what's his name, from West Wing.
Right, exactly. He's
changing roles. All right, we got to take a quick break. Ann Hornaday is a film critic for The Washington Post. Jed Dietz is the founder of the Maryland Film Festival. It is Midday at the Movies, the Oscar edition. We will continue with Ann and Jed after a quick break. And when we come back, you can join our conversation, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWIPR. I'm Tom Hall. Stick around.
You're listening to your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.
Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, looking ahead to Monday's program, it's another Midday Health Watch with Dr. Lena Wen. She's a professor of public health at George Washington University, a columnist for The Washington Post, and a medical analyst for CNN. And she will join us, as she does once a month, for the hour with an update on the pandemic, the U.S. vaccination program, the latest on the viral variants, and growing worries about a possible fourth surge of infection. So the Midday Health Watch with Dr. Wen coming up Monday here on Midday. And of course, one of the reasons I love Midday at the Movies is that it gives us a chance to hear that incredibly cheesy music, which I just adore. Washington Post film critic Ann Hornaday and Maryland Film Festival founder Jed Dietz are here. If you've got some Oscar predictions and some films that you think didn't get nominated but should have been nominated, let us know. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. Our Twitter handle is @MiddayWIPR. Let's listen to a clip of another Best Picture nominee. This is from Sound of Metal.
Your hearing is deteriorating rapidly.
We'll come back. Till then, Lou, we just keep going, okay?
No.
Lou, no. Let's play tomorrow. Let's see what it's like, okay? I'm gonna be like a click track. You can play to me.
I found a place.
I think it's important that you stay here with us right now, Ruben.
The world does keep moving. It can be a damn cruel place. But those moments of stillness, when this crappy, mundane world suddenly becomes radiant and magnificent, all the fear is gone. That place will never abandon you.
Sound of Metal. Riz Ahmed is the one of the nominees for actor in a leading role, and the movie nominated as Best Picture. And I've actually seen all of the nominees for Best Picture. Linnell and I have both seen them. We loved every single one of them. And this movie, I thought, was so powerful. And the sound design, I mean, as a musician, I'm very, you know, I'm just keyed into the music and stuff. But the way they get you into this guy's brain by the sound design, that you hear what the world is hearing and then you hear what he is hearing, it was just devastating. I thought it was great. What'd you think?
I couldn't agree more, Tom. And unfortunately, I saw this too late to kind of put it on my 2020 best of list, but it's definitely going to be on my 2021 because I agree with everything you said, the performance. And that was, by the way, that was Paul Racy that we heard, who's been nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And I was thrilled to see that nomination. And I kind of think he has a shot for that, deservedly so. But the way that they just used the whole palette, the whole toolbox of cinema and cinematic grammar up to and including mostly that sound design. I'm always so happy when, you know, the same way that production design informs the father and creates that experience, sound design creates this experience. And I just, as a critic and a cinephile, I'm always just thrilled when I see filmmakers swinging for the fences like that. It's just simply wonderfully entertaining. You know, it's just a great story.
Yeah, it really is. I want to listen to a clip of another movie we just saw this weekend. I've heard so much about it, and we finally broke down and watched it, and I thought it was incredible. Promising Young Woman. Let's listen to a clip, and Jed will talk to you about it on the other side.
My assistant tells me that you're interested in resuming med school.
I left under unusual circumstances. Huh. You remember the accusations made against Alexander Monroe?
I don't.
He took a girl back to his room.
You know, we get accusations like this all the time.
So it's a he said, she said situation.
What would you have me do? Ruin a young man's life? Was it reported?
Yes.
Do you know who she spoke to?
You.
So, Jed, this is Carey Mulligan, who is nominated as Best Actress, the movie nominated as Best Picture. Of course, Carey Mulligan is up against such incredible competition. My hunch is that she's not going to win. She's up against Frances McDormand, Vanessa Kirby in another movie called Pieces of a Woman, Andra Day, a wonderful singer in the United States, versus Billie Holiday, and Viola Davis, whose performance in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom on Netflix was just astounding. So I don't know. What do you give me your take on Carey Mulligan's chances of winning that award for Best Actress, and your take on the chances for the movie to get Best Picture?
Well, I think actually Carey Mulligan's a contender. I mean, I think Frances McDormand is the obvious front runner because she's already won. She's a highly respected actress, revered in Hollywood. I think this category is super strong. I think Viola Davis in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is breathtaking and also a previous winner. I think who will win. You know, it could be very much Carey Mulligan with Frances McDormand in a close second. I agree with you totally about the movie. I think it's this is a first time director, an actress by training, Emerald Fennell, who was in The Crown, played Camilla Parker Bowles in The Crown, wrote and directed this. And it's an extraordinarily entertaining movie, extraordinarily important movie, I think, because of the way it gets across this issue of sexual assault. And, obviously, you know, Carey Mulligan is hugely important in that, but I think the whole design of the movie, we've been talking about sound and Sound of Metal, the score in this is so unbelievable. I mean, there's a key scene in a pharmacy that is laugh out loud fun, and it's a Paris Hilton song that the boyfriend starts singing. He knows the words to the song. Emerald said that she picked the song because if any boy she'd ever known who knew the words to the song, she would have wanted to date him. And it's full of moments like this all through it. And the score that is sort of Hitchcockian and blends these things and has a whole theme through it, called Nina's Theme. I just think the movie is just stunning that a first time filmmaker took on an issue like this and then dealt with it so imaginatively. And you know, this is going to sound, you know, patronizing. I don't mean it to at all, but instructively. I mean, I think she's gotten to an issue that's hugely important, central in our culture right now through the Me Too movement, et cetera, and has actually brought it to a whole other level in the way she's choosing to communicate.
All right. So listeners, keep in mind that there is, and this is purposeful on our part, zero accountability when we ask Ann and Jed, who's going to win Best Picture Award, etc. So the consequences couldn't be lower. The stakes couldn't be more non-existent, because I'm going to ask you who's going to win. You'll tell me. And then next month, we will have immediately forgotten all about it, and we'll just move on to the next thing. So, Ann, just, you know, given that, you know, framing there, we've got for Best Picture, The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago 7. Who will win Best Picture, Ann Hornaday?
Nomadland will win Best Picture, Tom Hall.
All right. And Jed Dietz, what do you think?
I agree. You have to point out in Ann's opening remarks about diversity, this is the first time in the history of the Academy Awards that two women have been nominated as Best Director. And this is the director, Chloe Zhao of Nomadland, is one of them. And this is her third movie. This is a woman coming out of very much the independent film world. And it's, it's a real sign that this one is contending. I would also point out, I went and looked at the betting sites this morning, and The Father, which Ann and I both love, and I urge everybody to see and underscore everything Ann said about it, including that it, although it's about dementia, is incredibly fascinating. The Father is 80-1 odds against winning.
There you go. There you go. Well, let's listen to a little clip of Nomadland, which was a terrific movie. Here it is.
You are one of those lucky people that can travel anywhere.
Yes, ma'am. I know.
And they sometimes call you nomads.
My mom said that you're homeless. Is that true?
No, I'm not homeless. I'm just
houseless.
Not the same thing, right?
No.
My husband worked at the USG mine in Empire. I was a substitute teacher.
It is a tough time right now. You may want to consider early retirement.
I need work. I like work.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
My dad used to say, what's remembered lives. I maybe spent too much of my life just remembering.
Right. And when it comes to remembering, keep in mind, everybody, we're all just going to forget what we're predicting today. So that's okay. Let's talk about Best Director. Jed, you mentioned, you know, that Chloe Zhao is the first, she's one of two women nominated along with Emerald Fennell. We have another movie called Another Round by Thomas Vinterberg. Mank, which we've talked about, David Fincher's book, and then Lee Isaac Chung, director of Minari, and then so those are the five in the Best Director category. So, Ann Hornaday, your pick for Best Director, and who do you think's going to win Best Director? If those are one and the same, wouldn't that be a coinky-dinky?
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm always a fan of splitting it all up. And so I do sense, not that I have such, you know, great antennae into the Academy membership, but I actually am picking up a lot of support for Promising Young Woman. Mm-hmm. So this could be a year where we do see Best Picture go to Nomadland and then Best Director go to Emerald Fennell. You know, I think people agree, you know, they're seeing what Jed described so well, which is just that bravura, audacious debut on the part of this voice and this vision. And I believe that's striking a nerve. So I'll go out on a limb and predict that Emerald Fennell will win.
All right, Jed, what do you think?
Well, I think Chloe Zhao will win, but I think Fennell, I agree with everything Anne just said. And I would also add, just politically, the biggest group in the Academy voting block are actors, and Emerald Fennell is an actor, and Robert Redford and Kevin Costner are good examples of directors making their first films can win Best Director. So these are all fantastic directors. They've done beautiful work. The Thomas Vinterberg, who, you know, Another Round, which is a foreign language film, is an amazing movie. So, I mean, I'd be happy with any of them, but I think I agree with Anne. I think Chloe will win, but I think Emerald Fennell is a real contender.
Let's listen to a clip of Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. This is streaming on Netflix. Chadwick Boseman, his final role. He passed away, sadly, a while back. He has been nominated as Best Actor for this movie. Here's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
I know how to handle white folks. I've been handling them for 32 years. Now you gonna tell me how to do it? Just cause I say yes, sir, don't mean I'm spooked up by them. I know what I'm doing. Let me handle them my way.
Well, go on and handle it then.
Toledo, you're always messing with somebody. Always agitate somebody with that old philosophy be talking. You stay out of my way about what I do and say. I'm my own person. Just let me alone.
All right, Levy, you right. I apologize. Ain't none of my business you spooked up by the white man.
All right, see, that's I'm talking about. Y'all back up and leave Levy alone.
Oh, come on, Levy. We was all just having fun. Toledo ain't said nothing about you. He ain't said about me. You just taking it all wrong.
He ain't meant nothing by it, Levy.
Levy got to be Levy. And he don't need nobody messing with him about the white.
Chadwick Boseman, terrific performance by him, but also a wonderful ensemble. And What do you think in this category? We've got Sound of Metal, Riz Ahmed, Chadwick Boseman, Anthony Hopkins, we heard him earlier in The Father, Gary Oldman in Mank, which again got more nominations than any other movie, and then Stephen Ewan for Minari. What do you think, Anne?
Well, Chadwick Boseman has been getting a lot of awards this season, and so, you know, in terms of momentum, I think it's with him, and of course, it would be a very meaningful, it would be a meaningful gesture to give it to him posthumously. It would be bittersweet, and to take nothing away from that galvanizing performance, but as you point out, it is such an ensemble piece. I mean, it's such a piece of music to me when I hear those voices all together. It just points up August Wilson's musicality. So I think, I guess prediction wise, I do think that Chadwick Boseman will probably win, but it wouldn't shock me either to see Riz Ahmed maybe be a contender at the last minute.
Yeah, interesting. Jed, how about you?
Yeah, I think Anne's totally on the mark here. I would say from the betting sites, Boseman, in all the categories, the highest odds are for him to win Best Actor.
But I think meaning Riz, the best odds?
The best odds. Are in favor of him. I do think Hopkins could slip in. I think Riz could slip in. You know, there it's, again, a very strong category. Wonderful performances.
And the categories of supporting actor and actresses, also full of incredible people. In the actress category, Glenn Close in Hillbilly Elegy. I haven't seen that one. Olivia Colman, who's in The Father. She was in The Crown, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yeah. And then Amanda Seyfried in Mank. And again, another actor in Minari, Yoo Jung-yoon. from all I've heard about the ones I haven't seen and the ones that I have seen in that category, that, again, a very strong category. Anne, what do you think?
You know, I actually think Maria Bakalova is going to get this. She is the extraordinary actress who co-starred alongside Sacha Baron Cohen in Borat's subsequent movie film. And she's also been recognized this season. And to Jed's point about the strongest, biggest constituency in the Academy being actors, I think my suspicion would be that they would really recognize what she did with that role and the risks she took, physical risks, not to mention actorly risks, and just, you know, working without a net and really just leaving it all on the field in terms of a performance. And I believe that they're going to reward her for that. So I'm looking for her to win that one.
Yeah, and shame on me for forgetting to mention her. Of course, you know, anybody who finds himself or herself in a hotel room with Rudy Giuliani, you know, you got to get an award for something. You got to get some sort of statue for that. Jed, got about a minute left. What do you think? Best actress in a supporting role. Do you agree with Anne?
I do. I think that Maria Bakalova could definitely win it. Gets a lot of credit for, helping Sacha Baron Cohen really create the movie because it's improv, of course, a lot of what he does. Although he then points out he has more writers employed on the movie than anybody else. But I think Amanda Seyfried in Mank has also gotten a lot of attention and deserves it. I think it's an uneven movie myself, but I think her performance is extraordinary. But again, it's a strong category. I would love to see Munnery win something in this because it's another, you know, coming out of sort of the independent world into the Oscar world is something I always love seeing. So it's a good category.
There were some wonderful movies. It was a weird year. You know, we didn't see a lot of these movies. I myself didn't see any movie in a theater. That did not by any means suppress the creativity and the imagination and the genius of the folks in the film world. So it'll be fun to watch and see who wins. Anne Hornaday is a film critic for The Washington Post. She's the author of Talking Pictures, How to Watch Movies. Anne, thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.
Jed Dietz is the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival. Always a pleasure, sir. We'll see you next time as well.
Wonderful, Tom. Thanks.
Coming up after a quick break, theater critic J. Wynn Russick will join us with her review of the new virtual production at Baltimore Center Stage. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday, and I'm really grateful for that. Stay with us.
You're tuned to your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.